Welcome to Leadership Everywhere, the podcast on leadership in the 21st century. To ask questions and search for answers is a central aspect of our humanity. This is a creative act. In this podcast, I ask questions about leadership and explore them with you. By asking questions, I want to stimulate your imagination and create new images of leadership. This is the episode 2, with the title Loneliness, Vulnerability and Overload. Today's episode is about feelings. Feelings associated with exposure, like fear of loss of control and fear of rejection. These can take many forms, for example, avoiding open discussions and conflict, the queasy feeling during the appraisal talk, or when delivering bad news, for example, a dismissal. In these situations, we often feel defenseless and at the mercy of others. We fear rejection and criticism. Many people find it difficult to face these fears and feelings, to accept them and to deal with them, especially in the business context. And it's no wonder, most of us haven't learned how to do this. The predominant conditioning for a managerial or leadership role is to have feelings under control and above all, not to show them. Having feelings is often dismissed as weakness. Accordingly, some people are ashamed when they show themselves emotionally accessible or are afraid that the closeness will be exploited. We often interpret cool distance and inaccessibility as being professional and even explicitly demanded. Let's stay briefly with the example of the dismissal. Have you ever had to fire somebody? How do you do that? Usually, instructions are provided by the Human Resources Department to ensure that the dismissal is legally sound. Rarely do you get instructions on how to deal with it as a person. Often there is not even a conversation with the person being dismissed. There is a soberly formulated letter or even just an email. But what about the feelings of that person? They may have been with the company for a long time. What about your own feelings? I don't know anybody who likes to fire somebody. But you're usually left alone with your feelings. Feelings like fear, powerlessness, sadness, anger are not pleasant. We try to protect ourselves by getting a thick skin, an armor. Armor cannot be penetrated. It ensures that you cannot be touched. As a result, leaders with armor often pay the price of loneliness, emotional exhaustion, and overload. As always, this podcast is about questioning. My first question is, in order to rise up the ranks, do you have to armor yourself against feelings? Is the role model to follow the tough manager who pushes his way through? What is your opinion? I would like to enter into this question with a quote from Michael Mead, the great mythologist and storyteller. The old Irish had a saying, "You don't give a man a gun until you teach him to dance." In other words, it takes a different kind of learning before you can really entrust someone with social power and powerful things like weapons. If a person does not know the wounds of their own soul, they cannot only deny their own pain, but also be unimpressed by the suffering of others. More than that, they will tend to lay their wounds on others. According to the old culture-creating idea, in order to be able to carry weapons properly, a person must first be disarmed. That means they must be vulnerable and connected with something meaningful and life-promoting. I can't think of any better guide to leadership responsibility. What happened to the old words of wisdom? Why don't we find them in the management books? The question is, what else do we need besides power, prestige, and money to be well? Can we be well without being connected, without the feeling of purpose and belonging? Many managers feel lonely. Who can they actually talk to? To whom can they open up? Most of the managers I have dealt with want to be accessible and human. The big question is, how much closeness and how much distance is good? I often get the question when I have private contact with an employee, for example, having a drink or going to the gym together, do I not lose authority? Can I talk about things that touch me, or is that chumming up? Can being compassionate not make me vulnerable for manipulation and plunge me into conflicts of interest? What if an employee wants favors because of the friendly interaction? It can be difficult to keep your stance with someone close to you. Yes, of course, leaders who are empathetic and show themselves also risk to be manipulated or to be disappointed. As a counter-strategy, you may well prefer to put on your armor in order to protect your vulnerability. Next question. Is this the only possible strategy to deal with vulnerability? Or should we perhaps learn again to dance, like the old Irish said? One of the best-known researchers on the subject of vulnerability is the American Brené Brown. She has been researching the topics of vulnerability and shame for more than 20 years. Her approach is a scientific one. She makes feelings and the composition of feelings measurable. One of her significant research findings is that the extent to which we try to protect ourselves against vulnerability is a measure of our fear. To be infallible and invulnerable is unrealistic in human life. It's a waste of time to try it. It's not about knowing only victory or defeat, but to understand the necessity of both. Well, now we all can think of someone who does not know that. If we apply Brené's findings to leadership, then it is above all about committing yourself to a cause that is worthwhile, to stand up for something and risk that you may fail. Even more, knowing that eventually you will fail. You can also say it in this way. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. I had this note on my computer to always remind myself, I can eventually fail, but I'm all in. One of the five characteristics of my leadership model is being visible. It means showing myself, who am I as a human being, how I deal with closeness and empathy, how I deal with my own fears and feelings. Fear makes us swallow anger and resentment or give in to unjustified demands instead of openly entering into difficult conversations, saying what is necessary while remaining tactful and respectful. We become visible by being clear and predictable and by not shying away from honest disputes. To make this tangible for you, first look into yourself. What are your own fears? What drives you? Or what makes you feel insecure? What exactly is it that makes you vulnerable? We are all shaped by our parents, by education, school, society, etc. In the course of time, we form beliefs that initially help us to explain the world to ourselves or even offer protection. These assumptions determine our attitude towards ourselves, towards other people, and our attitude towards certain things, like work, performance, success, etc. Some beliefs can become drivers of our fears. For example, I must still do better. It is never good enough. Or, I'm only valuable if everyone likes me. Or, I must not show feelings. An Indian knows no pain. Or, be strong. No one should notice that I'm at a loss. Or, life is hard. Only the tough ones win. In order to cope with these fears, we develop protective behaviors and mechanisms. These can be cynicism, perfectionism, skepticism, pessimism, or boundless empathy. For example, you keep pardoning co-workers who do not deliver. You understand every excuse. You rather compensate for them, exhaust yourself physically and emotionally, rather than setting your boundaries and struggling for a solution. Each of us has one or the other of these protective behaviors. How can you deal with yours? You need to track them down, to check them for their truth, for their usefulness, and to replace them with positive ones. That way, you can redraw your boundaries. You empower yourself to change your attitude. Brené Brown uses a metaphor for this, which I particularly like, to climb into the dark cave. The dark cave is the place of your fear. For example, I was scared as hell to do this podcast. Will it be good enough? Will people be interested in it? Will they be able to take away something? I had a real blockade for weeks. Topics that I usually talk and write about confidently were foggy. I couldn't get any coherent sentence out. I had to go into that dark cave. I had to look what kind of beast was waiting for me there, because it meant something to me. What helps against the beast? Brené Brown puts it this way. Face all those who also enter the cave, who are brave and strong and fearful and weak, who never stop integrating these opposites. Don't worry about those who know everything from a safe corner and never take the risk of showing themselves. And she nails this down in one phrase. Strong back, soft front, wild heart. I can't think of anything more vivid and precise. Only strong or only weak, only courageous or only fearful, there is no such thing. It is the integration of all these feelings which makes us truly human and good leaders. The last question for today. What can you do to become a strong back, soft front, and wild heart leader? Which strategies and behaviors can help you? Sorry, I can't give you a one-fits-all recipe. Everyone has their own dark cave. But there are a few practical suggestions I can share. Encourage discussion and debate in your team. Celebrate successes. Offer comfort when things go wrong. Accept it when employees also give you comfort. Do not be afraid to ask others for help. Ask notorious critics and pessimists to bring in constructive proposals. Get used to seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. All of this can help to reduce fears of criticism and failure and allow for critical, honest conversations. And what about strong back, soft front, wild heart as a theme for the next retreat? Let's come to the conclusion of today's episode. Vulnerability is a catalyst for courage, compassion, and solidarity. You can't dance with your armor on. You can be empathetic and vulnerable as well as brave and determined. You are the one to give yourself permission to be both. You will hear from me again in 2 weeks. The next episode is about language in business. How does language impact leadership and inclusion? What does language and body language have to do with respect or discrimination? I'm looking forward to your suggestions, feedback, objections, and questions. You will find further information and my contact details in the show notes. My articles, blog posts, and tips can be found on my website www.abado-coaching.com. And as always, a little bonbon on the way. Do every day something that scares you. Eleanor Roosevelt. Keep well and stay tuned. Yours, Gabriela Abado.